The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child whom he put among them and said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. It's time now for the children to come on forward. I need those keys. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. I'm Pastor Deb. I know you haven't all met me, but I'm happy to be here with you today. And I brought something with me. Anybody know what these are? They're keys. That's right. Now, just by looking at all these keys, can you tell me which key is the greatest key? Anybody know what the greatest key is? Because the key that is the greatest key on my key ring is really the key that I need, right? If I'm at home and I want to get into my house, the key to my house is the greatest key, right? Because it's the key that I need the most. And if I come to church, you know, like this morning, if I didn't have a key, right, when nobody was here, that key would be the greatest key for me to get into this building. Well, today in our gospel lesson, we hear that the disciples are a little bit worried about who is the greatest disciple, right? And we're going to learn today that God has given each one of us important gifts that are all needed, right? They're all different, just like all these keys are different. But all those gifts that God gives us are needed by God and needed by everybody here, all right? So the good news for us today is that we have all been given gifts that make us great and loved and needed in this community, in God's kingdom. All right? So remember that. And think about your gifts this week and what gifts you have to share with other people, okay? All right. Let's say a prayer before you go back to your seats. Dear God, thank you for giving us gifts. Help us to use those gifts and love one another. Amen. All right. Thanks for coming up today. Don't want to lose my keys. Those are important. Well, so who is the greatest? How do you decide who is the greatest? Do you measure greatness by knowledge or by confidence, maybe by humor or by money? Perhaps you measure greatness by kindness or faith or love. Well, we are a people that like to rank the greats. The greatest athlete, the greatest band, the greatest actress, the greatest author. It's what we do. Pick out who is the greatest among us. Well, what if Christians, who is the greatest Christian in this congregation? Would you name the greatest teacher? Oh, did we have a hand? Or the greatest servant, the greatest preacher, the greatest musician? Well, in our reading from 1 Corinthians today, we get a peek into the church in Corinth. Corinth was a big city, a trading center filled with people from all different backgrounds, speaking different languages, holding different beliefs. And the church was no different. One of the conflicts the church in Corinth had that we hear about today was dealing with who was the greatest in the church. Those Christians in the church who were speaking in tongues were lifted up by some as the greatest, because their gift was seen as a sign that the Holy Spirit was upon them. This argument over who had the greatest gift was enough to divide this community. Because if the people speaking in tongues had the greatest gift, maybe that meant that they alone carried God's authority. Maybe they were the most important people in the community. Well, in our Lutheran Christian tradition, we are not overly familiar with this spiritual gift of speaking in tongues, but I think we can certainly understand the ways that people try to determine who is the greatest in the community, especially in God's eyes. Well, in response to this argument over who had the greatest gift, Paul writes to us and to them today that all gifts are important. All gifts are needed. He writes, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. God has given you gifts by the power of the Holy Spirit to do God's work, to care for one another, to share God's love, to knit us all together. So today I wonder, what are your spiritual gifts? And a second question, what are your neighbor's spiritual gifts? In my own study of spiritual gifts and in working with others as they discover their gifts, I have found that it's important to know your own gifts, but there's more. To live together fully and work together as God's people, we also need to know the gifts of those around us. When we learn about spiritual gifts from the early church, we find a long list. You heard some of them in our long reading this morning. A list of gifts that are all equally important and equally needed among God's people. Now, over time, Christians have added to this list, so depending on who you ask, you may come up with a different, longer list of spiritual gifts. But here are the 18 gifts we find listed in the New Testament in no particular order. There is knowledge, wisdom, discernment, faith, healing, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, evangelism, prophecy, teaching, exhortation, administration, mercy, shepherding, giving, serving, apostleship, and miracles. Now, you may be sitting here today and you know what your spiritual gift or gifts are. Or you may have just listened to this list and you might be more aware of the gifts you don't have. Both ways of looking at spiritual gifts are important. Discovering your gifts can help you live out God's calling, God's vocation for you, and guide you in finding your place in this community. If you have the gifts of mercy and discernment, you may be just the person needed to work with a homeless family in this community. Or your gift of evangelism, your gift for sharing your story and God's story, may be just the example a group of college students need to hear. Perhaps your gift is healing, and you find yourself drawn to people around you dealing with illness, praying for them and supporting them. The gifts God gives us and the way they can be used offer endless possibilities to meet endless needs in this community and this world. And when you know the gifts that you don't have, God's gifts in others become an amazing resource. If you see a need for hospitality or knowledge or administration that you don't have, God shows us that we can seek out another person who has those gifts and invite them to share their gift. Sometimes you might be able to see a gift in another person that they do not see in themselves. Paul speaks today of the body of Christ being like a human body, where everything works together to form the body, and every part is needed. In the body of Christ, everyone belongs. Everyone is needed. This congregation and this community and this world needs all of the gifts God gives, and only works when we use our gifts together. The body of Christ is truly knit together with a variety of colors and materials and pieces that form the whole. And God invites us today to see both the whole design and the individual threads and fabrics and yarns that are woven and knit together as one. God wants you to both recognize your piece and your gift in the tapestry and see the whole creation with its diversity and incredible collection of gifts. We are reminded today that in every community, there comes the temptation and the desire to figure out who is the greatest. It was true for the church in Corinth and true for Jesus' first disciples. It might even be true in this congregation. In our gospel reading from Matthew today, the disciples asked Jesus to solve their debate over who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus, of course, surprises them. He surprises them by not picking out any of the disciples. Instead, Matthew's gospel tells us he called a child whom he put among them and said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Now, children are not people in our community with the most power, or the most strength, or the most wealth, or the most knowledge. They can be vulnerable. They often need our help, and they are open to love in ways that adults aren't always able to be. Jesus says that God finds greatness in humility, in vulnerability, and in love. God's kingdom, God's community, God's family is not a competition to determine who is the greatest. God's kingdom is a community of people who work together, who share their gifts, who practice humility and vulnerability and love. Without you, this congregation, this community, God's very kingdom is missing an important part of the body, a part of the tapestry, a part of the whole creation. So hear this good news today. Know today that God promises that you are God's own creation, given gifts from the Holy Spirit that live in you. You have a special place in God's kingdom. Discover with the eyes and the ears and the hands and the heart of a child who you are and what gifts God is calling you to share. And then take a look around and help your neighbor to do the same. This good news we are called to is the work of a lifetime. And thanks be to God, we are all in it together. Amen.